As health workers treat patients suffering from COVID-19, scientists are working to figure out medicines that can ease symptoms or prevent the new coronavirus from spreading. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking with a professor who studies infectious disease, and we want to hear from you. What do you want to understand in the scientific fight against COVID-19? What questions do you have about how researchers are working to understand the new coronavirus? The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Do you think scientists should aim for therapies to help COVID-19 patients, or should we focus on preventing the virus from spreading? 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Bill Sullivan is a professor of pharmacology and toxicology at the Indiana University School of Medicine. He studies drug development and infectious disease, and he's also the author of Please to Meet Me, Genes, Germs, and the Curious Forces That Make Us Who We Are. Bill, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. It's great to be back on the show.
Thanks for being here. We now know that the FDA has granted emergency approval for two drugs for COVID-19. These drugs are usually used to treat malaria. What do we know about them and how effective they are in treating the new coronavirus disease?
The two drugs you're referring to are fairly synonymous. You're talking about chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine. And hydroxychloroquine has just been tweaked a little bit to be a little safer so that you can use more of the dose. Both of them are an old malaria drug. They've been used since the 1940s. They are well tolerated at therapeutic doses, but they do have a very narrow window of safety. So it is easy to overdose and cause potentially fatal arrhythmia. So we do want to be careful with these drugs. We certainly don't want to encourage people to hoard the drugs or self-medicate. So what's interesting about them is that they are now being proposed to have activity against coronavirus, which is a very different germ compared to a single cell parasite that causes malaria.
And I mean, the clinical trials are usually required for approval. Those have just started. So these drugs have gotten approval to be released a lot faster than they would in normal circumstances. What should we make of that?
That's right. These are called repurposed drugs. That's different from discovering a brand new drug when you don't know that the brand new drug is going to produce certain side effects. You don't really know how safe it's going to be. But chloroquine has been used by tens of millions of people, mostly to treat malaria, for decades now. And so we know how it works. We know what doses are effective, and we know what sort of side effects to expect. Since we know so much about the drug already, we're able to fast track it without doing all the previous safety studies that usually take a lot of time in drug development.
Sure. So we know how the drug works with the human body. It sounds like what we don't know is whether it could actually be effective in fighting the virus that causes COVID-19.
That is correct. And that's a very important point that we should stress here. There's a solid rationale for why chloroquine might work against this virus, and clinical trials are underway, as you said, but they just got started. So no one has proven that chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine works just yet in this capacity. And we don't want to deprive people who have an established medical need for chloroquine from their medication. These would be malaria patients. Chloroquine is also used to treat arthritis and lupus because it has potent anti-inflammatory activities. And of course, we don't want people to self-medicate. Everyone has probably heard the story about the gentleman in Arizona who took a form of chloroquine that was used to clean aquariums, and that was actually a fatal dose.
Right, because he thought that was what he was looking for and what he had heard from politicians, including President Trump, saying, well, maybe this is an option for us. So that self-medication can be really dangerous.
Yes, we definitely don't want people to do that. And we don't want other health professionals or people asking their doctor for this medication because there's no solid evidence that it works just yet. It works very nicely in a laboratory setting in a test tube, but we don't have the evidence yet that it works in people. And science has been fooled time and time again. When something looks good in a laboratory, it doesn't necessarily translate to practical use in a person. So we need to be more patient and wait a few more weeks, maybe a few more months, to see what these clinical trials reveal, because the early results that are coming out of it are mixed. Some studies suggest that it does seem to work, and others are suggesting it doesn't have any effect.
Bill Sullivan is a professor who studies infectious disease, and we're talking about developing drugs for COVID-19 patients, and we are taking your calls. If you've got a question, dial 800-642-1234. Let us know what you want to know about how researchers are working on this. And let's open that up then, Bill. Where are scientists looking right now to try to combat COVID-19 and its symptoms?
Well, there's two other major approaches that scientists are taking in addition to the repurposed drugs. Repurposed drugs are a really good option because they can shorten the severity and may be used as a preventative too, which our healthcare workers desperately need. We really have no defense right now against this virus. So the two other avenues that scientists are currently exploring, a vaccine would be the best. That would be the holy grail here because vaccines confer safe long-term immunity. Unfortunately, that's also going to take the longest to develop and test. Plasma therapy is another one that is being talked about increasingly in the news. This involves taking serum from someone who mounted a successful immune response to the coronavirus. This is kind of like helping someone cheat on a test. You're giving another person the answers, in the biological sense. You're giving them the antibodies that they need to beat off the infection. And when you get someone else's antibodies to the virus, they're going to bind to that virus and help destroy it. Your body would eventually make its own, but because we differ genetically from one another, some people mount a better or faster response than others.
And you mentioned vaccines are far away. Would a therapy like that be practical?
It wouldn't be the most practical. Vaccines would be very simple because they're usually just a one-stop shop. You know, you get your shot and you got long-term immunity for some time. Drugs are also very convenient. You can usually take an oral one and for several days and you'll be done. Plasma therapy is different because you have to harness serum from people who successfully beat the infection. That takes time, and that means there's not a lot of it just yet. And then to put it into someone, you can't just give them a pill of that. That actually has to be done through an IV infusion, and obviously that's not very practical. So this is the kind of therapy that will probably be used for very desperate cases, very life-threatening situations.
And Bill, we know researchers are trying to figure out whether people who get COVID-19 are immune or if it can reoccur. What do we need to do to figure that out?
Time will tell. The signs are looking good, though. There's no reported cases that I'm aware of where someone has come down with COVID-19 twice. And it does seem the virus genetically seems to have a very low capacity for mutation, which means, unlike the flu, it doesn't change a lot. So it seems to be relatively stable, which is good news in terms of long-term immunity, because if you're talking about a virus that changes a lot, that means it's going to be like the flu, and every year it's going to be different. We're hoping that coronavirus, at least the one that causes COVID-19, is more stable and will not change very much, and therefore the immune responses that we build will protect us from year to year.
Bill, thank you so much for walking us through this process and catching us up to where we are right now in those labs. We really appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Flatten the curve, everyone.
Bill Sullivan is a professor of pharmacology and toxicology at Indiana University School of Medicine. Up next, we're talking with our WisconTex team about how Wisconsin healthcare providers are taking testing into their own hands as they see more COVID-19 patients. And we're taking your calls about the situation, 800-642-1234. Do you work in a clinic or hospital? Are you able to get the tests for patients you suspect may be infected with the new coronavirus? 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.
Checking the weather forecast, a winter weather advisory will be in effect from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. west of a line from Rice Lake to Durand. Freezing rain and sleet may cause a tenth of an inch of ice and slippery roads in the advisory area, highs in the 40s there. In the rest of the state, cloudy skies with rain showers and highs from the mid-50s to around 60. On Saturday, the South could see a little freezing rain in the morning, then sunny skies expected across Wisconsin, highs in the 40s and 50s.
This afternoon on Central Time, it's this week's edition of Food Friday. We'll get recipes and cooking techniques inspired by Native American traditions here in the Midwest. That's Food Friday, today on Central Time from 3 until 7.
Support for WPR comes from Boardman Clark, a Wisconsin law firm serving businesses, communities, and individuals. Attorneys committed to listening with intent so clients can act with conviction and chart the best path forward. BoardmanClark.com.
Do you have a comment to share with WPR? Contact our Audience Services Department by sending a letter or postcard to Audience Services, Wisconsin Public Radio, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706.